Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Ugh, spam calls. Sound familiar? Introducing Line 2. Get a second phone number right on your existing phone. Imagine discounts, appointments, online forms. Handle it all without giving out your personal number. It's like having a secret weapon against spam. And when those unwanted calls sneak through, boom, blocked. No more interruptions, no more stress. Stay connected, stay protected. Keep your main number safe and out of harm's way. Ready to take back your phone? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Sports Grid Fantasy Football Podcast. My name is Davis Maddock. I'm joined, as always, on Thursday mornings by Jacob Sanderson to break down the daily fantasy slate. I wish I had good news for you guys. I really wish that this was a fun slate with a lot of high totals. Somehow we have a Chargers-Chiefs game with a total under 50. You know, we got the whole fucking slate is going to hinge on if we get a Jay Glazer report on who the Rams starting running back is. Kenneth Walker is going to be a bazillion percent owned. The Dolphins are not on the slate. The Bills are not on the slate. It is, I mean, this analysis is going around everywhere, but scores have just been much lower. Reeves has had some good stuff. TJ Hernandez from 4 for 4 put out some good stuff yesterday on Twitter about how bringbacks are dusted right now because teams are just not scoring enough. So we got to try and find some winners this week, Jacob.
Yeah, I mean, for people don't get to see the show in an audio medium, or people don't get to see this in a video medium. And you commented as I came on the stream that it's just getting darker and darker in my background each week as we record this at 7 a.m. And it seems like it's a metaphor this week for the bleakness of the DFS slate. It's just getting darker and darker.
Yeah, speaking of bleakness, how does Detroit and Baltimore have a total at 40? I mean, we got a 19-point team total for the Lions, a 22-point team total for the Ravens. Before the season, I would have said, this is going to be a fun game. You know, we got Goff, we got Gibbs, we got the air raid Ravens. And I do my getting to the flag plant very early. I think I'm going to be flag planting Lamar. Unlike some of the weeks that I've played him, I actually think he will be pretty popular this week, more like 10% instead of 0.5% or whatever. But this has the potential to be quite a good game if the Lions can be serious.
Yeah, I think this game could go over the total. I mean, the Ravens are Chargers-y in the sense that they just do dumb shit all the time.
All the time.
Despite, it's like they can look kind of good, but it's just never, it never clicks at the same time. Like there's one game where, like, I don't know, they're going to fail on 3 4th-and-1s. And the next game, Lamar is going to look really good, but his receivers drop all his passes. And the next week, Lamar looks like crap. Like it's just the whole, they just Ravens it up all over the place. The nice thing is Lamar pretty much only throws to two people right now, so it's really easy to stack them. You just do one of Zay or Andrews, potentially both if you really want to. And then, you know, the Lions, I think people have memory hold that Jahmyr Gibbs like clearly was the lead back the last time David Montgomery left. You know, maybe that's changed after this hamstring injury, but he was practicing Wednesday and Craig Reynolds wasn't. So I actually have probably more confidence than maybe I should that Jahmyr Gibbs is just going to get a bunch of touches in this spot. The question is just, are they going to use him as the receiver like they did in week two? Or is it back to kind of that week three role where it was like, okay, you get the carries now, but you're just kind of a grinder back for us. I'm inclined to believe that was somewhat of an aberration. I think that he does actually see like a really nice fantasy viable role. And I'd be fully willing to play him. And of course, Amon-Ra in the spot. I like this game. At least it has like a ceiling to me. Like at least there's two offenses that have some ability to be competent on a good day. That seems a lot more fun than many of these games in which I think that both teams would just be content to play a 16-13 game.
I think you're I so I think the Chargers analogy is pretty good, where it's like sometimes the Ravens will just miss every fourth down for a game, and sometimes, you know, this against the Steelers, just they lose 15 expected points on drops. But the recipe for them, like all the ball knowers, all the film watchers say Lamar's actually playing really well this year.
Yeah.
I mean, that confirms my prior. So Lamar, of course. Andrews is free, Zay, very free. I'm with you on Gibbs. I think that the game where Montgomery missed and he started was fairly an aberration. I mean, just using him for 17 rushes and one target seems so bizarre. Now Craig Reynolds is probably going to, after that block for the St. Brown touchdown, I know Dan Campbell wants to reward that. So maybe he gets some of that early down grind to work.
But he's not practicing this week.
That's true. That's true. I guess we'll find out a little bit more Thursday and Friday. If it's Devin Ozigbo and Jahmyr Gibbs, I think we could definitely see 20 plus touches from Ozigbo. I guess really the only question is, would you play Zay Flowers? He is one of the best points per dollar plays of the entire week. Would you play him without Lamar, without Goff, without as a straight up one-off play?
No, I think I'd at least want to play a line on the other side. It just seems like, as like a general rule, I just don't play over 20% owned wide receivers uncorrelated.
Yeah, I think that's fine. A game that truly has almost no one I'm interested in. The Las Vegas Raiders traveling to play the Chicago Bears. Tyson Bagent starting for the Bears. Maybe Brian Hoyer. Maybe Aiden O'Connell. Maybe Jimmy Garoppolo starting. We don't know yet. I'm going to guess Jimmy probably doesn't start this game. I'm going to guess Aiden O'Connell actually starts. I think that the Hoyer thing was, you're in the middle of a game, you can win that game, you put in Hoyer, but when you have a week to prepare, they do the same thing they did against the Chargers and start the rookie. I suppose people want to play Josh Jacobs. Go with God. It is the Bears. I'm not really that interested in terms of 7K running backs. I like almost everyone better. I mean, Jahmyr Gibbs is cheaper. Bijan is $300 more. Jonathan Taylor is $500 less. Aaron, I mean, they're just, I can't. I'm not going to debase myself. Now, I am interested in Adams, Myers,
yes,
and Mayer, though, just because of how bad the Bears defense is.
Like, this ownership has to be wrong. I'm staring at a low ownership on $2,700 Michael Mayer. That can't be right. Is it going to be right?
I mean, I guess I haven't run a ton of optimals to see what the, what they're actually giving you. I would say if Kincaid doesn't play, you're definitely going to get some $2,900 Dawson Knox in there. You're definitely going to get some Musgrave
rather
in there against
Mayer.
Denver.
Rather play Mayer.
Yeah, but I think that's probably wrong. I think in the end, Mayer is going to end up being probably the most owned tight end in most contests.
We'll see. Because I mean, look, this is just a matter of, I watched the game last week and they finally used him and I thought he looked sick. Like, that's my take on it. Like, he actually looks like he's a talent upside, has a legitimate role. He's $2,700 and he plays the Bears.
I mean, Austin Hooper ran 9 routes. It's Jover. It's Jover for Austin Hooper.
Right.
Yeah.
It's Mayer season and he looks fantastic. So I'm very excited to play him. I'm excited to play Adams. I mean, his quarterback situation is going to be trash, obviously, no matter who they start. But hey, Aiden O'Connell funneled him like 13 targets in 2.5 quarters. So that would be fine by me.
15.
Yeah. So I have no objection to that. And he's been whining about it in the media, so that's good. I love to see that.
We got the report that he's frustrated. Let me tell you.
I love a frustrated receiver.
Yeah. that narrative is undefeated this season, other than with Devonta Smith. And if Devonta Smith could catch, then it would be undefeated.
Yeah, he defeated his own narrative. He got 11 targets.
Yes.
they did what was expected. So that's good. And then, you know, maybe he plays the Bears, so that's good. Seems like
it's a week where people won't play him as much because you've got Diggs right there. Everyone wants to play Cooper Kupp this week. Nacua is down at 7,600. Like, I actually think he will end up in a range where he doesn't end up all that poppy. And people will probably even play Myers too, you know, because Myers has been pretty good.
I'm all in on a low-owned Devontae. I'm more interested in that than a high-owned Jacobs by a long shot. And then, the Bears. I mean, is Roschon Johnson, like, this concussion seems bad. Like we're now a full 2 weeks out from Thursday night football and he's still in the protocol. I have no idea what's going on there. If he ends up clearing, I'm interested. If he does not end up clearing, as we learned last week, we're not interested in this backfield, apparently.
And Homer, Deontay Foreman is going to be back. With
Darian
Homer is going to be back this week, so we're really not interested in anyone here. Yeah, I mean, no bear. Do not play a bear. You could play the Raiders defense. You could definitely play the Raiders defense against Tyson Bagent. We got another game here that I just have no freaking interest in. The Cleveland Browns traveling to play against the Indianapolis Colts. No Brown is playable. Not Amari. Not David Njoku.
Well, if Watson plays,
you think he will?
Not necessarily. I think there's a chance.
Yeah, if Watson plays, it's a dome game. You know, sure, whatever. But I just like this dude hasn't played now in 3 weeks. Sounds like he's still not going through full practices. There was a clarification report this morning out of Cleveland that PJ Walker is still firmly ahead of Dorian Thompson-Robinson. So anytime you're issuing that, it feels like you know the starting quarterback probably isn't playing. The one play I can talk myself into from this game is that this is the game where the flip officially happens between Zach Moss and Jonathan Taylor, and Jonathan Taylor gets 22 rushes. I know the Browns defense is good, but so is Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I mean, a low-owned Jonathan Taylor at $6,500 is always worth my interest. So that's fine. You can't play anyone in the passing game. It's just Minshew was a disaster against the Jaguars. He's going to be so much more of a disaster against the Browns. If Watson plays, then I think everyone on the Browns is like totally in play, like Cooper and Elijah and whatever else in the dome game against the Colts. But if it's PJ Walker, absolutely not.
What did you make of the split between Ford and Hunt last week?
My take on it was just that I think they went in and they were like, Ford wasn't very good the first couple of games, which I feel like was inevitable because they played the two hardest matchups in the world and then got another one this week. And then they were like, all right, let's let Hunt have a shot at it. And then Hunt was kind of okay. And then Ford got his shot. And then I just feel like Ford had this really impressive last drive and they're just going to have their lasting memory of this game being Ford making people miss and willing them down the field. And I feel like he kind of reasserted his control over the backfield on that final drive, but it's still kind of tenuous. Like I think that if, like I'm seeing ownership on Ford right now, I wouldn't necessarily want to play into that. Like, I think if Hunt comes out and is clearly the more effective back in the first half, it could swing back just as easily, in my opinion. I don't know. What did you make of it?
I mean, I just think that their plan is probably to split it and then whoever's playing well sort of gets a reward the next week or whatever. I think they like Kareem Hunt, you know, like I think they probably feel pretty happy that they were able to sign him after losing Chubb and that he hadn't signed with another team.
Mm-hmm.
And Ford is, based on the evidence of what we've seen in the NFL, maybe not a great, like, in between the tackles, you know, sort of a David Montgomery style runner, but he is pretty good catching passes out of the backfield. And theoretically that's what Hunt is good at too, but you can't have both guys doing that. And I think maybe they like Hunt a little bit more as the grinder. Although all that being said, Jerome Ford did basically win them the game against the 49ers, along with a sketchy refereeing call. Although the same thing was true of Damian Pierce. And then he got fucking benched for Devin Singletary the next week. So maybe coaches don't think that linear the way that I am projecting. All right. Yeah. The Buffalo Bills against the New England Patriots. I mean, I would love to be able to play James Cook here, but I don't really think you can, you know, because he's just getting all the short yardage stuff. And
he's not only just getting situation usage, he's legitimately getting half the usage now. Like he's playing a 50-50 snap share with James Cook the last 2 weeks.
Yes. And the Damian Harris thing, you could maybe be like, oh, James Cook, maybe he'll pick. No, it's not going to happen. Latavius Murray is going to play like 55% of the snaps here against the Patriots. I guess if you really wanted to cope, you wanted to go full cope to playing a low owned James Cook against a team that just gets blown out by a billion every week, you'd say, well, James Cook's more likely to get the garbage time work than Latavius Murray is, honestly, at this point.
Well, yeah. I mean, the thing is, Cook has actually played as, I think the, Okay, I think the idea is Cook's the pass catcher. You want to play him in negative script. I don't think that's actually the way that they look at it. I think that, like, Cook is, like, their preferred runner in most situations, not in, like, grinder situations, but out of, like, shotgun, on draws, on tosses and everything. And then he's also their preferred player to, like, scheme receptions for, but he's not their preferred player on, like, we're dropping back and trying to throw down the field.
Yep.
Because they don't trust him at all in pass protection. So if it's just like, if the ball's not planned to go to a running back on a given pass play, then they just want Latavius Murray because he can pass protect and then, like, run out in a little outlet route and catch the ball. And that's all that they need. And they think he can do that just as well as Cook with much better pass protection. So the games that they've played from way ahead where they're running more, Cook has been featured more. And then the games where they're actually playing from behind, like the last 2 weeks against the Jaguars and then against the Giants, it's like, this is now just a drop back game. All of our offense is just throw to Diggs, and we want our running back just to pass protect and then sneak out a little outlet in case Diggs isn't open. And that's, I think, where Latavius gets the snap. So I do think Cook's role this week, if this game goes as we would expect it to go, looks way better, because I think they're actually going to be able to run a lot more. They're going to be able to, you know, play for the way that they play from ahead and not necessarily have to just keep, like, doing this traditional drop back game every snap. So I could see Cook being back around 60-65% snaps, 70% of the opportunities this week. I think he's, like, kind of a fun play because he does actually have upside.
I'm with you there. If Kincaid doesn't play with this concussion, Dawson Knox saw 6 targets last week, 75% of the snaps. I mean, he's bad, but he's 2,900, and he's going to be salary leverage on Mayer. My sneaking suspicion...
They're going to score a lot of touchdowns.
Yeah, my sneaking suspicion is that the Bills might do a little bit of self-scouting this week and actually play Deonte Hardy more. Now, I don't know if that's particularly... I think the only thing that does is it opens up things more for Diggs, because they keep trying this Gabe Davis thing. They try the 2 tight end stuff, and none of it's working. The best the offense looks is with, I mean, this is true all the way going back to John Brown and Cole Beasley and Isaiah McKenzie and all these guys. The offense has always looked better when they've had a guy who can create some space for Diggs with his route running. And I think Hardy is the 7th highest paid offensive player on the team. So I'm leaving the light on for that happening. Not sure it's particularly actionable this week. All right, the Washington Commanders against the New York Football Giants. I was kind of horned up.
I love that we
didn't
even discuss the Patriots.
There's nothing to say. Literally not one person on this team is playable. Malik Cunningham subbed in for Wildcat stuff last week. So maybe even if you were like, oh, I'll play Ramondre, I'll play Hunter Henry, it's like, well, Malik Cunningham might come in and, like, run for a touchdown, and the team might score 1 touchdown anyways. They're not salvageable right now. It is the worst. So Giants Commanders was kind of horned up to play Brian Robinson here, just like envisioning him, you know, just rumbling through this totally hapless Giants team. And then Peter reminded me on the Swolecast that they're committing themselves to this Chris Rodriguez thing a little bit. He played 6 snaps to Gibson's 20 and Brian Robinson's 27 last week. And all of the Rodriguez snaps would come in spots where Brian Robinson would be in, like short yardage, potentially goal line, like maybe a Tank Bigsby situation where he doesn't do anything, but he does come in at the 1 yard line. Not to say I won't play him at all, because the price is pretty good. And I do think, I mean, the Commanders, I think, could just call 40 straight, you know, halfback dives and probably win this game. And I will always remain horned up on Wandale Robinson and Hyatt.
The Robinson squared stack.
There you go. It's perfect. Yeah. Robinson squared. And then Hyatt, 73% of the snaps last week. If there's one guy in this game with a ceiling, and Hyatt will be, I don't know, 4 or 5% owned or whatever.
I love the Hyatt call against the secondary. So very in on that. I don't know why DraftKings refuses to acknowledge that Darren Waller's price needs to come down. Because, like, every week I'm like, I can't wait to martingale Darren Waller this week, but then he continues to be 5K plus, and then I can't do it. So that's unfortunate. Yeah, to me it's Wandale, it's Hyatt, it's B Rob. I mean, I think you could probably do a Sam Howell double if you wanted to. That's fine with me.
I mean, the Sam Howell double or the Sam Howell one, it's very cheap. McLaurin's cheap. Dotson's free.
Doing Dotson. We're doing Curtis Samuel or Logan Thomas.
Yeah, I was going to say, not that you want to play the Washington Commanders long snapper.
He was taking reps at holder today.
Yeah, so I don't know. I don't know if you need that. But the logic for doing that would be Cooper Kupp gets there, Adams gets there, one of the expensive running backs get there, but in a non-core, like let's say Eckler gets 21, Kelsey gets 19, and Cooper Kupp gets 38.3 or whatever, and you kind of just need, and those are like amongst the highest scores of the entire slate because this is not a slate that projects to have a ton of points. So, but they get there in a non-correlated way. Like Mahomes gets 20, you know, Stafford. It's so funny. You would think from the Nacua and Kyren and Kupp seasons that Stafford would be having this good season. He's top 16 fantasy points one time. Like
he is having a good real life season, but all the touchdowns are going to freaking Kyren Williams.
And they're all going to be going to Myles Gaskin this week. So it's going to be a tough scene. So that would be you do the Howell, you do Samuel, McLaurin or whatever. And so I think that is a way to set that up. All right. God damn, these games suck, dude. The Atlanta Falcons.
Oh my God.
Against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers.
My flight plan is to go outside and not play DFS this week.
Oh my God, a 17 and a half point team total. My only flag plant is that Bijan will have minimum two games this year where he just like the entire offense just ends up being Bijan Robinson. They can't do anything else. Ritter can't complete a pass. He's taking sacks. He's fumbling. He's throwing interceptions. And Arthur Smith says, there's only one way I can dig myself out of this hole. Yeah. And it is establishing Bijan Robinson. I could see this being like a 28 carry, 5 target game for Bijan. Obviously not saying that is his median outcome, but I feel very confident that will happen this season. This is also, I mean, no one wants to admit this, but this is like pretty much a must win game or a very important game for both of these teams right now in the NFC standings. The Buccaneers are actually leading at 3-2. The Falcons are 3-3. The Saints are 3-3. The Saints probably going to pick up a win.
This is a playoff game.
this is a like super important game.
The winner of this game has a very good chance to be completely dusted by the Dallas Cowboys.
Yes, and good for them. Good for them. So, I mean, look, I'm not gonna say you can't play Kyle Pitts. You know, he's 4K. I'm not gonna say the week after scoring a touchdown that you can't play him. But my preferred play here is just Bijan because he's $300 more expensive than Josh Jacobs and will be 8% owned, and Josh Jacobs will probably touch 20%.
Yes, I agree with the Bijan thing. The Falcons last week, it was like Desmond Ridder had, by an absolute mile, the best game of his career against the Texans. And it felt like Arthur Smith was like, all right, Desmond, like we're going to let you actually cook a little bit. They came out in the first half, and it was a one-possession game the entire first half. So like they fell behind immediately. And they had 23 dropbacks to 9 design runs. And it was like, whoa, we're doing this. Yeah. And then and he played like legitimately well in the first half. And then the second half, he threw up all over himself, and they lost the game. And now I feel like Arthur Smith is like, I tried.
He's going the other way.
I fought the run and the run won. and he's like, okay, we tried this for one game. I listened to you nerds. I aired it out. And what became of me? Failure. Failure became of me. And this week he's like, we're not even attempting a fucking pass. We're gonna run it 3 straight times on the first series and 3 straight times in the next series. And we're not passing until someone forces me at gunpoint to throw a forward pass. I foresee this being the negative 26% pass rate over expectation. Bijan Robinson has 24 carries. Tyler Algier has 18 carries. Desmond Ridder has 6 carries and 7 pass attempts. That's what I see when I open my third eye on this game. I love Bijan. And I'll tell you what I don't love. I'm looking at 20% projected ownership for Rashad White, who's like the most useless player in the NFL.
I literally wasn't even going to mention him.
I can't imagine playing that.
I just am not interested in any way. Just to give you an idea of who he is projected around. So Rashad White projected for roughly 15 points or 13 points, about 15 to 20.
And good fucking luck with that. He's going to have 79% of the snaps. He's going to have 13 carries. He's going to have four targets. And you're like, oh, he had a decent game. And then you're going to look up and he had 7.8 again.
Yeah. I
doesn't do anything.
Javonte, Jerome Ford, the Lions guys, you know, like Aaron Jones. I guess it is truly just that the slate is that gross that is leading into it. I mean, if you just sort by projected points, Rashad White is the eighth highest projected score at the running back position with 13.5. So it's just not a good running back slate, which is why I want to be jamming Bijan, because Bijan is really the only angle I see at all. I mean, I think even him at 20%, I think I would argue is a little bit under-owned here. All right, a potential game. I mean, well, it's going to be the game that decides the slate if you get the read right, which is the Pittsburgh Steelers against the Los Angeles Rams. The only game of the main slate that saw its total rise from open. It's the world that we're living in. Who starts at running back for the Rams? What is the split like? Cooper Kupp, Giga Chalk, Puka Nacua, Giga Chalk. Pickens probably gets owned a good bit. I don't think Jalen Warren or Najee Harris will enter into the conversation. Is Deontay Johnson ever coming back? What's the
yeah, this week. That? Practice in full.
That's interesting, I think.
Yeah, Deontay at 5K, I think that ownership's got to rise, right? I mean, he's practiced in full. I think they were pretty patient with him. That seems like a total smash ownership to me, or smash salary to me. So definitely playing Deontay this week. Yeah, you can't play the Steelers running backs, unfortunately. I think you can still totally play Pickens, even with Deontay back. It's not like they have anybody else. The targets can really consolidate, I think, on those two. And then, yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I feel like I'm probably just going to sit out the Rams running back situation and let other people take shots on it. Like, I just so doubt that it's going to be one guy. They don't really have a ton of running back usage generally in this offense. They don't throw to the backs very frequently. They pass a lot. They're probably going to do that even more since they don't trust any of their backs. If it's one guy, then any one of them is going to burn me. But I just feel like it's going to be some, like, it's probably a three-way split.
I think it probably will be one guy because that's just the way McVay likes to do it. He's done this with CJ Anderson. He's done this with Cam Akers. He's done this with Daryl Henderson. He did this with Kyren Williams. He did it once with fucking Ronnie Rivers. He did do it once with Ronnie Rivers. They gave Ronnie Rivers a game audition last season. I think it was maybe one of the times when they told Cam Akers to go home. I gotta go look this up. All right.
Yeah, he played like 50s to 60% of the snaps, but Malcolm Brown played a little bit. Hendo was still playing a bit.
Yeah. So the Malcolm Brown thing, people, it's sort of a misremembering. So the Malcolm Brown thing was when Gurley was coming back from his knee tear the first time, and he just wasn't physically ready to get all the touches. So they were like, all right, Malcolm Brown, you're going to play a little bit. If I had to ascribe a range of outcomes, I would say it's the most likely outcome is that one of Zach Evans, Myles Gaskin, or Daryl Henderson plays 60% or more of the snaps. The second most likely thing is that Zach Evans is in a two-way timeshare with one of these guys. The third most likely thing is that it's a three-way split. And the fourth most likely thing is that Zach Evans is a healthy scratch and Royce Freeman, Daryl Henderson, and Myles Gaskin are in a three-way split. So it's the way it's being projected right now, people are going to play Zach Evans. He's the number one points per dollar play at the running back position.
That's bad.
I as of right now, it's Thursday morning, very little information. The things McVay has said about Zach Evans, not exactly super encouraging at his media availability. I am not playing a $4,000 Zach Evans in cash. So I probably won't play him very much in tournaments either.
Yeah, I consider myself a Zach Evans truther. I think if McVay gave him a shot, I think he'd play well. I actually really like the player from college. But yeah, like DFS brain here, like we have an extremely uncertain situation. there are so many ways Zach Evans loses this. Like, he either loses this by being like inactive, he loses this by being like barely used. It's not even like, oh, it's him or someone. It's like, it's him or the best of three alternatives, or it's some combination of him and those alternatives. And like, okay, if he gets a 70-80% snap share, then sure, he probably can't fail at 4K. But if he gets a 55% snap share, and then it's just they use other guys, like, he can easily fail. Like, okay, maybe he hits his point projection and you're not buried, but you just have 9 points in one of your running back slots. It's like, what does that do for you? Like, so you're not gonna get enough points. So to me, if people are actually gonna play and own Zach Evans, like, if he gets 15 to 20 points and he beats me and I can't chase him down with other options, good for you. But I'm not participating.
I think that is fine. All right, the Arizona Cardinals at the Seattle Seahawks. Kenneth Walker, here's your guy who you turn over the cards, and he's 60% owned in your in your contest. I mean, Zach Charbonnet is not practicing. We are looking at historic levels of Kenneth Walker here. And the JSN as a real boy game, as boldly predicted here and elsewhere, it was his career high in yardage. He actually was targeted at non-Wandale Robinson depths on the field. Feel like every Seattle player is in play. Geno is in play. Metcalf, Lockett, JSN, not the tight ends. Walker for sure. I mean, I'll probably, given the context of the slate, I'm not going to fight the Walker chalk at all. I'm going to play right into it.
Yeah, he's a terrific play. There's enough chalk plays that I think are really dubious this week that I have no problem swallowing up the Ken Walker.
He's a goat, man. He just like he's so good now that even the success rate stuff is gone.
Has he even been that good? Like, he actually hasn't been that good by any advanced metrics. He's just scoring touchdowns.
Oh, grow up. Jacob, this is why people hate nerds. This is exactly why people hate nerds.
I'm still not convinced that he's good at all.
Kenneth Walker is very good. You saying you are unconvinced if Kenneth Walker is good, you are trying to convince people you do not know ball.
I mean, he's very fun. I'm still not actually convinced that he's like all that efficient of a runner. The data would continue to suggest that he's okay.
What are you wanting out of Kenneth Walker that you are not getting?
To run straight.
No, like one that time. That is not his job, dude. And clearly his coaches are fine with it, you know, because Pete Carroll Pete Carroll would be a guy who would say, "You're not doing what we ask. We will play DJ Dallas. Don't make me do it. I will play DJ Dallas." and so clearly, and this is actually, I mean, going way deep into theory of football stuff here, that's actually something Seattle has always been okay with. Like, they used to eat a lot of negative plays from Russ because they would get the really good plays three or four times a game. So I think as a coaching staff, they are very comfortable with Kenneth Walker losing. And he's not even that bad in success rate anymore. He was bad in success rate last year. He's about league average now.
He's fun. I find his style like personally displeasing, but it occasionally gets massive results. And he looks, I mean, it's hard to say he's not good because he's obviously good. Like, if you watch him, he's like impossible to tackle, and he makes stupid plays, and he like not stupid. Sometimes he makes stupid plays because they're stupid. Sometimes he makes stupid plays as in, I can't believe what I just watched. He's so sick.
He's even getting used in the passing game now too. Like
True.
Yeah. So Kenneth Walker, he's the man. Michael
Wilson, he's gonna run all over Arizona. He's gonna annihilate these guys. They just got. Yeah. I mean, they just gave up like the second highest ROI a week per attempt of the week to Kyron Williams, who's ass. So Ken Walker's rushing for 200 this week.
He is. Michael Wilson, I will play. I'm going to try to avoid the Hollywood Brown chalk. I'm just not really that interested in it. And then speaking of young tight ends flippening dusty old vets, we got a McBride flippening last week.
Oh,
yeah.
Merciful.
You went on McBride as a salary leverage on Mayer here. I mean, Josh Dobbs, the future of the franchise. He's got Kyler breathing down his neck now. He needs to get some results.
Depends what ownership looks like. If either one of Mayer or Musgrave is under 10%, then I don't see a reason to play McBride. I'll just play them. But if they're both going to be really owned, then sure, I'll play McBride. I am obligated to say that despite thinking Ken Walker is a perfectly good play, that if you want to mix it up and not play Ken Walker in 100% of your lineups, you can easily just attack any member of the passing game or double stack Geno Smith against the Cardinals. I think that's super viable.
Yep. I agree. I'm in on JSN again this week. Surprising. Yeah. Absolutely no one. okay. We have a very stoppable force against an immovable object here with the Green Bay Packers and their dipshit awful offense against the Denver Broncos, who are on pace to have the worst defense in NFL history. Like every team except the Chiefs can score against the Denver Broncos.
Is it bad that they traded for Hardman? And my immediate reaction is like, he's probably their best receiver.
No, it's admitting you made a mistake, right? It's looking at the offense and saying, we don't trust Sky to do this, right? We do not trust Sky to do these things. Rice is not ready yet. And no one else on the team, and Tony would just break if we asked him to do this. So, like, let's just get Hardman back. It was a good trade. All right, Aaron Jones, Christian Watson, Luke Musgrave, all playable. I think Aaron Jones in particular.
Love Aaron Jones.
Yeah, no one wants to click him. He's basically been out since scoring a 60-yard touchdown. Like, we barely seen him. And Sean Payton this week said Marvin Mims is just dying to break out. And just dying to break out, Marvin Mims.
I'm so sick of Sean Payton already. Aaron Jones, this is maybe spoiling it, but I'm extremely into Aaron Jones this week. He said that this is the healthiest he's felt all season. Green Bay medical staff is historically pretty conservative. So my guess is if he really, really wanted to play in that game before the bye, maybe he could have. I feel like they looked at it and they were like, you're still not 100%. We have the bye week coming up. Let's just get you 100%. I think personally, like, Matt LaFleur has seen enough of AJ Dillon, and he gets the medical staff telling him that Aaron Jones is a full go. He's like, okay, we're making up for lost fucking time and we're playing him as much as possible because I can't watch AJ Dillon run into his lineman
anymore.
I've
seen enough of AJ Dillon. Everyone's seen enough of AJ Dillon. I was very enamored by AJ Dillon. It's going to happen to me again. It's going to happen to me again with Braylon Allen. I'm going to have Braylon Allen on like every dynasty team. And it's going to be the same thing where he just cannot effectively get yards at the NFL level, but I'm ready to give up on AJ Dillon, but Musgrave, I mean, he continues to have basically the best role. Like, he plays more snaps than Kelsey. He runs more routes than Mark Andrews because of the volume of the offense. Like, the dude is Sam Laporta without any stats to report to this point.
Yes, because he might not be good. That seems to be the one question.
Well, he had like 400 yards at Oregon State in 5 years, so he might not be good.
Yeah, but the role's great. I'm definitely into Christian Watson. I mean, he seems to be playing basically the same role as last year so far, which is just running a million deep routes. And Denver gives it up. So that's fine with me. Jordan Love's ass, but I feel like if Christian Watson is running wide open down the middle of the field four times, Jordan Love might hit him once. So that's fine. And then, I don't know, there's no one else. But yeah, Jones, Musgrave, Watson will feature heavily in my lineups. And I wish that I could play the Broncos, but Sean Payton doesn't want us to have fun. And he plays Marvin Mims fewer snaps than he plays the mayor of Chicago. And he has a three-way running back split because even though Jaleel McLaughlin is good and Javonte Williams looks slightly healthier, he still needs to play some Ajay Piran on every third and 10.
Hey, so you know what? I'm going to be team Sean Payton here. This split of these guys as an NFL coach, it makes sense, right? Piran, very dependable, like extremely good pass blocker, one of the best. Yeah. Javonte, clearly is, which is weird because he was back at practice and everything earlier than Breece, but clearly more limited from his knee injury. Yeah. And look, I mean, Jaleel McLaughlin is like, I mean, I have this guy on every freaking main event team. He's awesome, but we're talking about a guy who started out his career at Saddleback College, who weighs about 185 pounds. Like,
I think you're confusing the colleges of Jaleel McLaughlin and Amari DiMercato.
Oh, I did.
he was Youngstown State.
He was Youngstown State. Yes, that is correct. Okay. DiMercato was Saddleback. You're right. I'd see, this is why I like doing shows with you, because you know. All right, our final game.
I will say quick on that point, like, this is a very nerd take. I actually agree with their three-way split being optimal. It's very frustrating. One of my takes that I've always had is, like, designated satellite backs are bad for a couple reasons. One is because you're always giving away the play. But even on third and 10, I think they're bad because if you put, like, Jamichael Hasty in on a third and 10 and you convert, like, one of the best things about converting a third and 10 is you have the opportunity to go no huddle off a third and 10 into a first and 10 against a defense that's playing dime packages. And then you sprint up to the line, don't substitute, and run against a defense that's entirely unprepared for the run. But you can't do that if you have some scrub satellite back or you want to make a substitution. It matters not to the Broncos because Sean Payton, like, because he substitutes his entire offense every play. He plays like 38 offensive players and he needs to have Chris Manhurst on the field every first and 10. So they're never taking advantage of this. So they may as well have a satellite back.
And Javonte and Jaleel could do either thing also. Like,
yeah,
I think that is the difference where it's like they could be the satellite back and the rusher where like it doesn't really matter. All right. Chargers, Cowboys. God, this should be a 53.5-point total. We should be excited about this. We should be like, it's Eckler, it's Keenan, it's Quentin Johnson, it's Travis Kelce, it's Patrick Mahomes, it's Rashee Rice. And we're not. We're just expecting the Chargers to go into Arrowhead and get their asses beat and make three critical mistakes and for Kellen Moore to run the ball too much and for the Chiefs to play good defense and you know, not convert every third and short because Noah Gray needs to get those direct snaps because the Chiefs refuse to do a quarterback sneak and the Chiefs are going to play nine wide receivers in this game. If the Chiefs don't get something different out of wide receiver, they're not winning the AFC this year. They will not beat the Ravens. They will not beat the Bills. They will not beat the Dolphins if this is what the offense looks like in December.
The Chiefs seem to get serious. Like,
about
that Thursday night game was infuriating.
Yeah.
Like, it's just 33 routes, zero targets. Like, enough with Marquez Valdes-Scantling. Enough with this fucking guy. We can't play him anymore. Like, and Sky Moore is like maybe 3% less egregious. Like, it's just this offense is Patrick Mahomes, the greatest quarterback I've ever seen play football. And I don't even want to play anyone in DFS. And I don't even really want to watch their games because it's just depressing to watch him drop back and survey the field and not see anyone open for like 5 seconds and then eventually get the ball to Travis Kelce. And
the
like Patrick Mahomes, it's like they score like 20 points a game and he has 7 yards per attempt. It's like, what are we doing?
Yeah, what are we doing here?
The Chiefs used to be so much fun and they suck. They don't suck. They're going to win games, but they're no longer like a fun.
They're not fun. And it's like Andy obviously is a great coach. But one thing that I think he's had trouble with is that if you go look at all his teams, they've always had a really freaking good wide receiver, just like almost always. And so kind of built into his offense is the idea that you can have a Quez Watkins, DeMarcus Robinson, Marquez Valdes, a guy whose job it is to just clear the space out for everyone else. And they still have Kelce, and Kelce is unbelievable. And they just get every first down they need because Kelce is so good. But Kelce doesn't add as much after the catch, especially now at 34. I mean, he's good after the catch, but they don't have A.J. Brown, Tyreek Hill, Terrell Owens, even frickin' Terry Glenn. I mean, they don't have an alpha wide receiver. Their closest thing to it is Rashee Rice, and they won't. I think, by the way, that's coming. I think the full commitment to Rashee Rice as an every down player or close to it is
it
coming.
It has to come. There's no choice. He's the only guy with any juice. Like, Tony has juice, but Tony breaks in half. So I get it.
46% of the snaps for Tony last week. It might be close to Reed throwing his hands up and saying, if he gets hurt, you know, if he dies, he dies, because we got to win games.
Right. I mean, maybe this is the game, divisional matchup, et cetera, but it's Rice and Tony are the only receivers with any juice in this offense. I will play Rashee Rice this game at 4,700 because I think he's shown enough that he has somewhat of a ceiling at half the snaps. And I do feel like one of the weeks we're going to look up and it's like, oh, he played 77% of the routes. I mean, I think the Hardman thing is a pretty direct indictment on that. Like, they know that Sky Moore and MVS aren't getting it done, right? Like, that they're no longer in denial about that. They gave up a 6th-round pick for Hardman, and then they gave up a 5th-round comp pick they would have gotten for Juju. So they basically gave a 5th and a 6th for Mecole Hardman, which says a lot, I think, about how they view their receivers. So hopefully at some point in time, we're moving to like a Tony Rice Hardman receiver room. And then this receiver room is fun. Will Hardman be active this week? I mean, he already knows the offense.
I would assume almost 100% yes, because Richie James is out and Justin Watson is out. So, yeah.
Right. I mean, it's not like he has to learn the verbiage. He was there for 4 years. So,
by the way, I got it just on the verbiage thing. I want to rewind all the way back to the Rams running backs. Miles Gaskin knows the verbiage because the McDaniels and the McVay offense are going to be the same verbiage, and Miles Gaskin's college coach is the assistant head coach in LA. So I needed to make sure that is recorded on a podcast somewhere.
Yeah. All right. So yeah, who are we playing? What Chiefs are we playing? Mahomes, we're playing Rice.
Well, Pacheco is going to be him, and Kenneth Walker are going to be like mega giga chalk. I will do Mahomes, Rice, Kelsey, Palmer, probably. I mean, it is fucking Jover for Quentin Johnston.
Oh, man. He got Gilmore, just like Gilmore ended his NFL career in his 6th career game. Like, that was.
Yeah.
I don't want to be reactionary guy.
No, the haters were right. Rap. The Quentin Johnston haters, the ones who said he was a bad prospect, they were right, man. It is. If Keelan Doss got called up from the practice squad and was the starting wide receiver. Well, first snap, it was Keelan Doss out there, not Quentin Johnston. Like, it is not. I put Quentin Johnston, I'm already putting him in the Rashad Bateman, Treylon Burks bucket. Like, it's not happening.
That's tough. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like I can't decide if this game is we wake up Monday morning and we're like, oh, there was a slate with all these horrible games, but then also nobody really wanted to play the Chiefs Chargers as much as they should have, and then it went for 65 points and we're idiots. Or if it's the Chiefs Chargers have all these warning signs that say they're not actually the Chiefs and the Chargers anymore, but in the absence of any other fun games, we played this one anyways, and then we just had to eat a bunch of ownership and salary on a shitty game that ended 21-17. And I think it's the latter, but I'm not sure. I don't know where you're at. Like, I don't even know how interested I am in playing this game, which is pathetic because it's the Chiefs and the Chargers on a slate with horrible games.
I'm going to play it because we just went through every game in the main slate, and I couldn't even really tell myself a story about any of them shooting out.
But that's how you get inefficient ownership, is because people play this game by default, and then it sucks. Like, but I also get it, so I don't know.
And I don't even, but I think you could argue it's still not going to be, like, no one's, the only guy whose ownership is going to get out of control in this whole game is Pacheco. Eckler, Keenan, Palmer, maybe Palmer is the one that gets out of control just because he's 4,800, and he's, to be very fair to Josh Palmer, he's actually been quite good in each of the last 2 Chargers games. So, but I think, you know, any of the tertiary guys, right? Like, you know, Everett, Rice.
Yeah.
You know, I honestly don't even think Eckler really gets out of control at 8,500 because people would rather play Cooper Kupp as their expensive guy in the lineup. And both of the quarterbacks, Herbert and Mahomes, I don't think will end up being all that owned.
And our god, Mike Leone, has Keenan Allen at the exact same salary as Eckler, just projected higher.
Yeah. There you go. All right, man. What are you planting your flag in this week?
I'm planting my flag on Aaron Jones, who I think is coming off in the nut matchup. Every game is important for Green Bay right now, where they're at. And I think Matt LaFleur, he's grown irritable in press conferences. He seems to be aggravated on the sidelines these days. And I think he's seen enough from AJ Dillon. I think he's seen enough from Jordan Love. I think that he wants his warm blanket back in his life of Aaron Jones, and he gets it back this week. And I think he's extremely excited. The broadcast noted on Monday Night Football that they had built their game plan around Aaron Jones and didn't know what to do anymore when he wasn't able to play. And so I think now they get to once again build their game plan around Aaron Jones. And I think that he's going to get just, I don't know what the snap rate's going to be. It might be 52% snaps, but I think this is one of those weeks where it's like he plays 33 snaps and has 23 touches on 33 snaps. I think that they funnel their offense through him. I think he has a lot of big play upside against Denver. And in a week without a lot of running back plays, he still doesn't seem to be attracting that much ownership. So I'm lock buttoning him.
There we go. I'm going to go Jahmyr Gibbs, $6,300 against the Ravens, especially if Craig Reynolds doesn't play. But even if he does, I doesn't care. Just a guy I think is very good. I mean, the Lions are trying to be a serious team. I think it is a lot easier when you are Arthur Smith and you're not a serious team with no expectations. Just be like, Kyle Pitts has to earn it. I think it's actually a lot harder when, I mean, they're, are probably people who believe that the Lions can win the NFC, you know, certainly that can win that division and, you know, all that stuff. So I just think it's harder to be like, all right, Jahmyr Gibbs, you gotta eat your shit behind Craig Reynolds. We just spent the 12th overall pick on you, but you're not, you haven't earned your stripes yet. So Gibbs and Rashee Rice are going to be my ones. Cause I actually think Rice, he got boosted enough in salary. He was chalk 2 weeks ago when he was on the main slate. I don't think he will be particularly chalky here because he got a price increase, and we are just counting down the days until they make him an 80% route participation guy. Everyone, thank you for listening. Make sure that you are checking out Thinking About Thinking, Jacob's awesome Substack, and I will be back later with Rich.
Step into modern luxury at Langham in Grandview. Your boutique, studio plus suite awaits with a premium kitchen, spa-inspired bathroom, and elevated finishes throughout. Just steps from your door, lounge poolside in a private cabana, unwind in the hydrotherapy spa, perfect your swing with virtual golf simulators, or visit the fitness center for a Peloton ride. Availability at Langham is limited. Reserve your studio plus suite today at livepreferred.com.
Some matches are temporary, but your privacy shouldn't be. With Line 2, you get a second phone line just for dating. No need to share your personal number until you're ready. You can chat, text, and even block numbers, all while keeping things fun and private. It's perfect for online dating, blind dates, or just keeping things light. When you're ready to move on, Line 2 lets you cut ties without any drama. Dating should be fun and carefree. Line 2 keeps it that way. Ready to date on your terms? Visit line2.com/audio or download Line 2 in the App Store today.